Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
I want to speak to you this morning about messy marriages. Is that okay? I wanted to speak on completely something else, and during the night, last night, very late, the Lord changed it, and He said, I want you rather to speak about marriages, and so I'm going to go a little bit a different style than what I would normally do, but I believe it's applicable to many, many lives during this time that we are living in right now. Who of you know this? If your marriage is messed up, your family is going to be messed up, your family is messed up, your kids are going to get the brunt of it. Amen? And so I'm not going to try to answer every single avenue that there is, but I want to give you principles, and I want to speak to you about marriage. And I also want to speak to you about being single. I want to speak to you about how and what the Lord expects from us and what the Word of the Lord says. Amen? Who of you know that the Word of the Lord is always the final authority and it's always the beginning authority? Oh, come on, Empower. Are you with me? Who of you know that the Word of the Lord is always the beginning authority and it's a final authority on all matters of life? And so, you know, do you know that God knows the worst of you, yet He loves the best of you? Ah, that is a good place to say something. God knows the worst of you, yet He loves you the best way. And I want to take, tell you a story, or just say that, you know, during this time that we've been just working through one or two things, and you know, you guys will know my dad went to be with the Lord, and we've been working through some of his stuff. And one of the things we found was this: is that he wrote my mom. He wrote my mom poems. He wrote my mom love letters. He wrote the love letters, and we have found quite a bit of them. And what's amazing about this is that for me, when I saw this, and I read some of them and just, you know, wanted to know what he's got to say. And what I thought to myself is many of his words or many of the things he wrote about at the end of her life, that was no longer true. In other words, for a physical experience, sit in your mouth right now, Empower, talk back to me. And what I mean by that is that physically speaking, what he was writing wasn't true. In other words, he would say things like, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, I love how you, things like that. He would write things like that. And at the end of her life, that was not what was true to the eyes. And as I wrote, as I was reading some of these things, God spoke to me and He said this, it's exactly the same about you. I know everything that is bad to say about you, yet I retain all of that and I tell you all the best things that there is about you. Oh, come on. You have to understand, what is the gospel? The gospel in marriage is this: you can take all the bad things and highlight that, or you can highlight those things that you believe to be true, even if you can't see them. Come on, are you with me? And so what I mean to say is this: is you have to understand that God is like that. And long before I want to speak to you about marriage, I want to speak to you about the Lord, because the Lord loves you so scandalously, so ridiculously, that the cross, and I want you to know this, the cross should not tell you how much sin you have. The cross should tell you how much worth you have. Oh, come on. No. You didn't catch that. The cross should never tell you how much sin you have. The cross should tell you how much worth you have, because your worth is the cross. Listen, if heaven emptied itself for you, then why are we devaluating ourselves again? You see, most Christians, and I want to give you these things because I want to speak to you about them, because most Christians, they work for righteousness, and the Bible says He gave us righteousness so that we don't need to work for it. In other words, He gave us perfection so that we don't need to work for it again. Oh, and this is the undergirth of what I want to speak to you about in marriage this morning, because we're living in a society that's putting a lot of pressure on what is marriage. We put it living in a society that wants to define for you a lot of what is single and what is whole and what is right and what is not right. And I want to give you biblical answers for this morning. And I'm going to tell you a story. Can I throw this a little bit different this morning? Because when we understand what God wants, we're going to go back to God, by the way, and we're going to tell God how He did it. And so first and foremost, I want to put the orders into place. Number one is the Lord. Number two is your family. Number three is your work. Can we just have those three in place right from the start? Come on, can I have an amen or something, guys? Everybody that's online, welcome. Good morning. Good morning to everybody on Facebook. Good morning to everybody on YouTube and Church Online and Impact Radio and all the different platforms. And do me a favor, and as you guys are listening, share the gospel. But I wanted to look at one or two things. And when I looked at this, the Lord started to speak to me, and He said this. He said, one of the biggest issues is this, is that Christians believe today that they need to decrease, and I never gave them that instruction. I said to them, deny yourself. I said, deny yourself and follow me. I never said decrease. In actual fact, Jesus prays the opposite. Jesus says increase. And what do I mean by that is this, in the marriage context, it's this, you cannot decrease, you need to deny. Oh, deny who? Yourself. Okay, it's going to get quiet this morning, I know. But I'm going to give you some truths, is that okay? So first and foremost, I want you to know, for every marital context, it doesn't matter how it looks like, for every marital context, I want to give you the sketch how God made it, and then I'm going to give you some practical tips. Is that fine? Can we go that way? Okay, point number one. Man was never made to live outside of anything but the presence of God. When God created Adam, He made him in the presence. And the problem we have today is we are looking for men outside the presence. You have to go find a man in the presence. Because man was made in the presence. Oh, come on. We have a lot of people that say, for an example, no, I'll find the guy and I'll make him right. No, you won't, and no, you can't. Oh, come on, tell me if I'm right. You can never love someone right. Jesus does that. You are not the answer. He's the answer. He said it Himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. To who? To the Father. I am the source. Oh. And if you don't learn that very quickly in any relationships, and this day what has happened is because society is morally deprived, they are pushing that moral deficit into relationships. Because society around you has dropped the moral radar. Extremely so. Oh, come on, are you with me? And so it's interesting that the Bible says the word father, the Bible uses the word father again and again, and Jesus uses the word father, and the word father means source or foundation. Source or foundation. Source or foundation. And it's interesting, if you ever want to know who you are, you have to go back to the source. You see, the problem is this. Many times we find ourselves in a mess and we want to find out who we are with the guys that's with us in the mess. It's not going to work like that. You have to go to the source. Oh. So for every destiny, there's identity. For identity, there's destiny. But destiny can never be derived in people that know who they are. So right now we're living in a society that don't know who they are, and because they don't know who they are projecting something that they are not. That's why you can never look to the society to answer your identity, because your identity is found in a source. Let me use an example. The young man, when he sat next to the pigs, the Bible said he filled himself with pig food. I said it before. The word pig food means communication. So as long as he was talking like the pigs, he was never finding himself again. But then he made up his mind. He said, I must go to my father's house. I must go back to the source. So whenever, here's the rule, whenever you're going to go off stray, go back to the source. The source will reintroduce you to you so that you can be reintroduced to yourself. Oh, come on. It's true, guys. Because what did the father do? He gave a ring, he gave a cloak, and he threw a party. So he reintroduced the son. out of what he was messed up. Okay, I don't want to stay there too long, but I just want to show you that many times when we have deficits, what we do, we go to a deficit to answer a deficit. We go to people that have got issues just like us, and we try them to answer the problem. You can't. You have to go to a source. Oh, come on. It's going to get good. I can tell you it's going to get good this morning. Amen. So, you have to go to a source. May I say this? Jesus is heaven's final answer on everything. Okay, that you can put on Facebook. Jesus is heaven's final answer. Heaven's final answer is Jesus. How do you fix a marriage? Jesus. How do you fix society? Jesus. How do you fix your money? Jesus. How do you fix anything? Jesus. You have to know Jesus is the heaven's final answer. And what I don't understand in our society today is why have we minimized that what he has maximized? He maximized worth, yet we want to redefine our worth by everything that heaven is not redefining it by. Heaven redefined everything that we are and everything we will ever do by giving us the very best that heaven has to offer. So if I want to know how much I'm worth, I need to understand how much heaven was willing to give. And heaven gave everything to gain me. Oh, that's ridiculous love. Don't even understand that type of love. So, here's a couple of truths. God did not take man. God made man in the presence. And he placed him in the presence. And this was, by the way, long before man appeared. long before women appeared. So, man was made in the presence. And he was kept in the presence. It tells me something. As fish cannot survive without water, a man's identity cannot survive outside the presence of God. So for a man to understand what a man means, he can't go to the society, he has to go back to the presence. He has to go back to the one that made him and ask him, why did you make me like you made me? Oh, come on, are you there? Because society will want to redefine you so that you might speak with them. And as long as you speak like them, you are never unique. Your uniqueness comes out of your founder and your maker and your shaper and your creator. Oh. No. So the beauty of you is this. God made someone just like you. There's nobody else that looks like you because the beauty of you is made in your uniqueness. Oh, I can preach a lot of different directions. And the story is this, is that we have to understand if God made us a certain way, he made that like that for a certain way. So for every man that walks the planet, God has created you with a destiny. Okay, let me go deeper. Can I go deeper? Okay. Man, then God said, after he made man in the presence, he told man to go and work. He said to man, work. He said before he gave, and this was before he gave him a woman, he told man, go and work. This means that long before a woman may come onto the scene, a man must have a job. So let me give you the order for a healthy marriage. Presence, work. Woman is not yet on the scene. Today's society is getting flipped around. Man is not working, woman working. Reverse order. God says, presence, work. Then we speak about women. Oh, come on. Are you there? Okay, I'm going to get a lot of amens from the ladies this morning and from the men, hopefully. So what I want to encourage you to do is you have to understand this because God told man to work and that the woman was not even on the scene. And then he said this to a man. Shame, all the men. But true, that's what the Bible says. Then he told man, you have to be the cultivator. Cultivate and have dominion. And then he said this to Adam. Listen to his words. He says, I want you to present her to yourself. Man is the cultivator. And then listen to Jesus. Jesus has got a wife, by the way. Her name is Ecclesia. And he washes his bride with his words. That tells me something. If Jesus is our perfect theology and Jesus is our perfect model, whatever you want in your woman, you have to be able to say. Now let me reword that and say it better. You have to wash destiny by your words. Oh. You can never get what you don't say. Come on, isn't that true? Isn't that right? And so, let me just say it like this. The reason why you need God is because God gave the responsibility to a man to understand a woman. He said, I want you to understand her physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Cultivate that. And that's why you need God. Because a man cannot understand a woman without God. Ah, it's impossible. It's true, it's impossible. So you have to understand a woman emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Let me help some of the men here with tips. Okay, when a woman speaks, when a woman talks, she's actually giving you her emotions. Oh, please, someone come on, guys, online. Give me some amens or something here. But when a woman talks, she is not asking for an answer. She is telling you how she feels. So a woman tells you what she feels by her words. Isn't that true? Come on, are you there? Come on, I'm giving you practical tips here because I believe marriages are under attack. We are seeing marriages under attack. We are seeing relationships under attack. And two halves does not make a whole, guys. And this is, should be the goal of all marriage. You should take baggage outside of the marriage context. Because if you don't sort out your baggage, you're gonna carry baggage in the marriage. Oh, are you there? Okay, so Jesus washes. He washes with His words. He washes His bride. He washes whatever He wants to see, He says. It's interesting, right through the Word, He tells you what He wants from you. He washes. Oh, okay. Let me say it like this. And then God said this to man. God said this to man. He told man to protect the garden and He told man to protect the woman. It's a man's instruction from the Lord. Oh. And today we're not seeing this anymore. And I want to say, I think God's right. It's getting quiet. Okay. God told the man to protect the garden and God told the woman and to protect the woman. Why? Because God was understanding snake was coming. So God said to Adam, listen, if you don't have dominion, if you don't wash your bride, if you don't wash your woman with your words, something else is going to come and wash her. Something else is going to get her attention. And when something else gets her attention, she will not be able to be how I made it to be because you're neglecting that what I told you to have dominion over. And this is the problem with dominion. You can't be a king if you don't have a queen. It's simple. It's simple dominion theology, this, or biblical theology for lack of a better word. Then I want you to understand something here. And this is something we don't forget, understand, is that man was formed, woman was made. Man was formed, woman was made. Man was formed out of the dust of the ground and he was breathed, the ruach was breathed into them. Woman was made from man. And I want you to see where God placed a woman. God did not take a woman out of his rib and then place that woman under his feet. He placed the woman next to him. But we call woman a helpmate, but a woman cannot be a helper if the man is going nowhere. Oh, I'm getting support here. There can't be a mission without a vision. So if a man doesn't have a vision, why do you need help? Okay, let me throw another one at you. We say many times love is what makes a marriage work. Incorrect, because there's a lot of divorced people that are very broken and very hurt and they have been in love once. So love does not make a marriage work. The application of love within the context of knowledge makes a marriage work. Oh, doesn't make sense, guys. Are you there? Are you with me? Okay, so man was formed, woman was made. Man is the foundation. And here's the thing that's happening right now in society. Pastor Eric, just come and help me get my jacket. This is what is happening right now. Everything is slim this day, so I need help to get out of my stuff. Everything in society right now is ridiculing the foundation that is a man. And what I mean by that is this. Let me reword myself. Man is the foundation because the Father is the foundation. Now what is happening right now in society is the foundation is made so that when pressure comes, they need to fall back. You will always fall back on the foundation. A house is condemned by the foundation. The guy does not walk in and look at the lights and say, the lights is wrong, we're going to condemn the house. They look at the foundation. Oh, come on, are you there? And what's happening right now in society is there's pressure being placed on women and they've got nothing to fall back on. Because men are not standing where they're supposed to be. Come on, I'm a man, so I'm talking about myself here. Right now we have a fatherless generation. It's a big issue. Because the more orphans you're going to create, the spiritual orphans we're going to create, the more people we're going to take away from the source. Because the Bible says by this spirit you may cry, Abba Father. Why Abba Father? Because God doesn't want us to feel like orphans. He wants us to feel like children. But as long as we don't allow ourselves to go back to the source, we're going to be parented by a generation that are orphans. Orphans feels entitled. Sons know what they have. The difference between an orphan spirit and a son spirit is sons don't fight for that what is theirs. Sons know what's theirs. Because fathers leaves inheritance. Oh, it's very true what I'm saying. You have to understand the man must be the foundation that must uphold all of his family. Our biggest problem is not highly potential women or men. The biggest problem right now is fatherless households. Very much in South Africa. Come on, are you there? The Bible says, oh, let me throw this one at you. The Bible says, leave and cleave. And it's interesting that he gave this instruction to a man. He said, I want you to leave your father and your mother, and I want you to cleave to your wife. Okay. Let me go a little bit deeper here and say, I want to go very practical today. I want to give you tips. The Bible says a man is a priest, a prophet, and a king. That's what the scripture says. And so if I look at the Bible, you have to be able to understand your roles. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, help us. You have to understand your role. You have a role to play. A man is a king, a priest, and a prophet. As king, he needs to be able to rule his own household well. Not to lord over them, to serve them. Because leadership is servanthood. The way you serve your wife, the way your children will find their own identity. Children will be lost if a man doesn't serve. Most men want to be served. Bible says reverse, serve. Come on, we have to serve. It's a bedrock. But if we don't understand that, if we don't understand that role, we're not going anywhere. And so as prophet, your responsibility is you have to hear the voice of God. You have to hear God's voice. You have to hear what the Lord is saying. And you know, you need to know where you're going. It's a responsibility given to God by God to a man. Oh, come on, are you there with me? Then as priests, it's your responsibility to represent your family before the Lord. So here's the thing, I want to speak it like it is. The reason why many families are so heavily attacked right now is because there's nobody in the gate. The enemy cannot find access to a house if a man sits in the gate. Because there's nobody in the gate, the enemy can get access. Come on, think of it. I've counseled many people. I've seen this timeless times, guys. It doesn't depend. I want you to understand, sin is not a respecter of anything. Sin is not a discriminator. Sin is sin. Evil is evil. Wickedness is wickedness. Bottom line, simple. Are you with me? So you have to be able to understand your role. And as you understand your role, as you understand your place, you have to be able to fill the gaps. And And if you don't fill the gaps in the marital context, you have to understand if you don't wash, if you don't love, if you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, someone or something is going to do it. Right now, society is going to fulfill it for you because we're under pressure. COVID-19, this whole thing has put a lot of pressure on a lot of things. And what it's trying to do, it's trying to redefine things for us. Let me say it like this, and I want to give you some tips. One of the greatest things and the things I really want to encourage you not to do is don't use your words as weapons. Whenever your words is weapons, that means your heart has drifted. Because a man is what his heart is full of. Whatever your heart is full of, your mouth will proceed. I know this is not a hallelujah message, but that's okay. Because whatever is in your heart will come out of your mouth eventually. And what we find is this is at the time that couples attack one another, their hearts is long ago and drifted. Oh. The Bible says you are the bishop of your own heart. Do you know what that means? It means you steward the own content of your heart. Sometimes, many times, we want to blame circumstances and people for what we have in our own hearts. No. The Bible says you're the bishop. Come on, am I preaching this right? It's true. We can never blame other things for what we are. No, you are who you choose to be. You're not your feelings, you're your decisions. As soon as I become my feelings, whoever you know, I'll be enslaved to my circumstances all the time. And then Satan will call the shots all the time because circumstances come and circumstances go. Seasons come and seasons go. Oh, come on. Praise the Lord. Okay. Don't use words as weapons. Then I want to give you another. I want to give practical stuff this morning. Is this okay? I want to give you practical stuff because when you have practical tools in your hand, you can go and fight the battle. Do you know South Africa has got one of the highest population rates where women are Christians? Okay, all the men say amen. But it's true. And listen, I'm not picking on men. I'm telling you what the truth is here. So don't use your words as weapons. Secondly, I want to give you a tip. Don't allow assumption to come in. Assumption is the bedrock of Satan's entry. In any good relationship, you have to learn to communicate. And I want to give you a key in communication. You do not need to communicate to answer. You must communicate to hear. Oh, okay. Let me say it like this. When women communicate, men are already formulating an answer. And what we have to understand is we don't need to answer, we just need to listen. Oh, okay, come on guys, help me here. So you have to be able, no place for assumption. No place for assumption. Third one I want to give you, outserve one another. Look for areas to outserve your partner. When you outserve one another, you're going to look at the gaps. And this is the thing, where you don't outserve, you leave a gap. And what I've found is this, is that many times, for example, in my marriage counselings and people that I've been speaking to, often the reason why their marriage will fail or their relationship will fail is they have allowed a gap and then someone else comes and fill the gap when they're low. Let me use a basic thing. Most men like to hear, even though they're failing, they're doing okay. Come on, guys, help me out. Most men do not want to be criticized by their women. And so what happens many times is that if a woman criticizes a man, it will ridicule his identity. Then for Satan to successfully set up a divorce, he needs to bring in another woman that will build up that man's identity. It's true. I've seen it so many times. It's just that gap. And now when the man goes low And if he doesn't go back to the Lord and he starts to listen to something else, the Bible just says, God said it to Adam. He said, who did you listen to? What other voice have you listened to? Come on. And you have to understand that. And so that's why I'm saying, look for the gaps and fill them. I've used a very simple example now. But let me say it like this. I sat with a young couple the other day. I asked them the question, and I'm busy helping them, and they're going to get married soon. And here was my question to them. I said, what is the goal of your marriage? What is the goal of your marriage? They said, no, we love one another. I said, that's not a goal. What is the goal? Why are you together? They said, no, we just like one another. I said, that feeling is going to rub off. It's going to go away. Then you have to know why you're together. So why are you together? Good question. I want to ask all of you, why are you together? And for all the single people, by the way, I want to just say this. Single is not a label. Oh. Single is not a label. And single doesn't mean you're broken. Single means you're whole. Single actually means you know your worth and you're waiting for your time. The best things in life happens in time, by the way. Come on. Are you there? We have such falsehood on single things because we believe, because society pressures us into molds. No, you don't need to be pressured. And listen, let me give single, every person that is single in status, let me give you some advice. Don't put your life off until you find someone. No, but when you're single, learn, grow, develop, study, find a job, be interesting, gain knowledge. But don't be boring, because eventually when you're going to get married, you need to know what you need to going to talk about. Oh, come on, are you there? Okay, then we're going to go on. Then outserve one another. It's so important. I know it's practical stuff, but outserve one another. And you have to know, let me say this with outserve one another. You have to understand what your partner values. Oh, come on, guys. Can I have an amen or something here? You have to know what your partner values. What does your partner value? What do they value? Quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts. What do they value? You have to know that. If you know what your partner values, you will be able to fulfill that value all the time. And what you're going to have is a happy marriage. You're going to have a happy, successful marriage. Oh, come on, guys. Are you there? And so this is basic stuff, but I tell you, I've seen people fail on these things. And the reason why they fail in marriage is they don't plan to fail. Nobody plans to fail. But what they do, they don't apply knowledge. Are you there? Are you with me? Okay. So, outserve one another. Look for those areas where you can outserve one another. It's key. Then I've put another thing down. Never speak down about your spouse in front of another person. Never put them down publicly because you can't restore them privately. No. Never. Yes, something. Can I give you a good tip? Never bring the fight in the house. Leave it outside. Because win the war. And what I mean by that is this, I saw this example with my mom and my dad. They never fought inside the house. I actually never saw them fight. In 47 years, I didn't see it. And I don't think they didn't fight. I just never saw it. And they had this simple rule. They said this, all the troubles stay outside the door. That I remember. They said, listen, you don't come of work into this house. That guy can stay outside. Well, when you come home. And today's challenge, tell me if I'm telling you the truth. Today's challenge is this. We bring our job home, we bring our worries home, we bring everything home, but we don't bring the husband home, we don't bring the father home, we don't bring the original self, that guy, we don't even know where they are. Come on, think of me. We sometimes so inundated, I'm not saying we mustn't work, but somewhere along the line, You must understand there's stuff of higher worth here. Because once the father role ceases in your life and you've replaced it with your work, you're gonna regret the rest of your life that you have worked your bum off, yet your child doesn't like you very much, even though you provided for them. Because they don't need your work you, they need the father you. I pray to God will you listen to me today. But it is the reality. And right now in this scenario, in this situation that we are finding ourselves in, we have to know our roles. It needs to be clear. Never speak down. Oh, I'm going to give you a big one now. Let your spouse be your confidant. Don't allow others into the space. I've seen this countless times where people allow other people to be their confidant. You need to understand, nobody likes you more than what your spouse does, hopefully. So the point is, it's very simple. Don't allow other people into becoming your confidant. You know why? Because it breaks down the barrier of trust. And that if that barrier of trust goes, you have to understand it's very difficult to build it, rebuild it, and get it back in. I hope this is helping you. Then I want to say this, let your spouse be your confidant. Don't ever allow others to get into that space. And now I want to maybe be very practical and say this. You have to know that when a man and a woman comes together, they form a new unit. They form a new family. And everybody else must get a boundary. Oh, okay. One of the things I believe in, and I, even though it might seem ridiculous, but I still believe it to be true, divorce must never be an option, as I believe that Jesus can reconcile anything. And I'm not saying you won't get reasons for divorce. You will most likely get a lot of reasons for divorce, and as we know, but the word of the Lord remains true that we should, in everything, try to find reconciliation. And let me tell you a story. I sat with people the other day, we do it all the time, but I was sitting with a couple and they both committed adultery. Both of them were in it. And they had all the reasons biblically to not be restored. And it was simple, as with both of them doing it, not just one party, both parties. I said, listen, you have got grounds to divorce unless we want to give the Lord a chance here. I said, but before we can ask God to restore, you have to be humble. And I found the secret out that humility gives birth to reconciliation. But if you don't recognize, I am in need of being reconciled first, then you can't reconcile. I said, well, but if you accept His grace, if you accept your mess, if you accept that you're broken, if you accept that you need His intervention, then we might be able to restore this. And so can I just say this? Brokenness always equals restoration. Oh, come on, guys. Are you there? Does it help? Okay. Then I would want to say this, that divorce, again, must never be an option. Must never be an option. And if there is things that come along your way, and I want to say something about divorce as well, is that I failed to say this morning, I guess I can preach it in a lot of different ways, but I feel that society has labeled people that are divorced, and it's wrong. I feel like society has labeled people that are divorced, and now because they've gone through divorce, there's some second hand something. And I feel that's wrong. Come on. Do you know that God got a divorce? He wanted a divorce from Israel. He asked for it because they broke covenant. But that didn't make Israel less than what it is. Come on. But sometimes we want to label people. You know why we label people? Because labels makes us feel better about ourselves. So it's easier to label somebody else to deal with my own junk. Because if I have a label, I feel I'm entitled. Come on. No, don't take the devil's labels. Oh, come on. Don't take that label. Don't take the label of divorce. Might have happened to you, but that's not who you are. Don't take the label of Mary, of prostitution. Prostitution was what interrupted her, but it wasn't what defined her. Come on. The bottom line is, He's the author and the perfecter, and you are not your past, you are your future. And we need to give God back the pen in His hand that He may continue to write our story according to our destiny, according to His word. Oh, does that make sense? And I want you to know something about God. God, when He brings you back to the source, He is the one that's looking for you. It's not the other way around. We often say, I went back to the Lord. No. God was looking for you long before you went back to Him. We have the story so bad, we say, I found Jesus. No, Jesus found you. Other way around. We say, I came to Jesus. No. The Spirit drew you to Jesus. John 6:63. I don't know if I'm talking to the right people here this morning, but I want to say to you this morning, I believe that God wants to restore you, redeem you, reclaim you, and help you as if it never happened. Because He can do that. He's a healer. He's a restorer. He's a redeemer. These are His words. And He says to you, and He says to me, I am called His beloved. I don't see one time in the Bible that He calls me condemned. I don't see one time in the Bible that He calls me a second class citizen due to the things that has happened to me. Every time when I look at the Bible is just one massive love letter of a God that chases people down. He chased Abram down and Abram was a liar. He chased Jacob down and Jacob was a swindler. He chased Moses down and Moses was afraid. He chased Timothy down and Timothy had fear. He chased Saul down and became Paul and Paul was a murderer. He chased Simon down and Simon was swayed by the society around him and yet he stood as a rock. You have to understand, He's the God that chases after you. That's the God story. And I don't know where you've lost it. Maybe in your marriage, maybe you feel lost in your marriage, but who cares? You can do it again. You're never too old to romance. You're never old to love again. You're never old to be restored. God can restore you, heal you, redeem you, change you, come into your life at any given time. Come on. Why do we need to have timelines to have promises being fulfilled? Where do we believe that? Where did that nonsense come into our minds that we believe that there's an actual timeline? Abraham, 100 years old, and God said, come on, I'm going to give you a son. Outside of man's timeline. Noah sounded like a fool building a promise for 100 years old, nothing happening. They tell him, hey, Noah, where's the rain, man? And then the rain came. The point is, the promise is yes and amen in Christ, not outside of Him, in Him. And as long as you go back in Him, the promise stays. It's when we look outside. This is the problem. We look for our promises outside of Him. Because sometimes He doesn't do it inside of our timelines. And because He doesn't do it inside of our timelines, we go look for our own promise. We say, you're going to wait. We're not going to wait on you, God. You know, stuff that. I'm going to do it all by myself. That's what we do. I want to ask you today, why are you serving God? Why are you in marriage? Why are you in relationships? If you don't know why, you're going to get challenged on the why. You will always be challenged on the why. Because if you don't know why, you won't ever know how to stay. But if we know the why, we can stay. Oh, come on. But I don't. If I read the word, I just see a God that is absolutely continuously in love with me. And I think, if you ask me honestly, what is your view on everything? I think love heals everything. I think love is a restorer. Love is a restorer. Love is a reconciler. He restores my soul. Come on, are you guys with me? Are you there? I want to end with maybe one or two thoughts here that's going to help us. And because I really believe that this morning, I want you to grab the heart of the Father for any relationship context. Holiness in marriage is not something that you need to try to achieve outside of God. Holiness is something you get inside of God. And one of the reasons that we're seeing so many marriages attack right now and families are going is because somewhere along the line, we forgot to go back to the source which introduced us to us the whole time. I said this maybe before and I'll say it again. The greatest theological question is this: who's God? Who am I? Greatest question. Who is God? Who am I? And you need to know, society wants to challenge that. Who are you? Who am I? Because we have got some very real issues and we won't help them by brushing them over. We need to address these things in a spirit of who is God? Who am I? Oh, does that make sense, guys? And so, two last things that I want to say. I hope that your hearts are gelling inside of you. But divorce, again, I said, it never must be an option. And then second last thing I want to say is, never stop romancing one another. Never stop romancing one another. Romance does not have an age to it. Oh, come on. Doesn't have an age to it. My dad was married to my mom for 47 years. I never saw her open up her own door. What has happened to that type of love? Can we have it back, please? Can we have that type of simple love back? Do you know that this Bible is a love letter? It's God loving you. It's God loving you like crazy. And when I look at the cross, when I look at the cross, what I see, when I look at Jesus, it's interesting that he says that the word of the Lord calls it Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter number 5. And so, let me maybe say it like this before we step into one or two other things, is that Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament so that you can live in the new. What does the new one say to you? The new covenant says to you very simply this: you are forgiven, you are loved, you should not feel condemned, you are righteous, you are justified, and one day I'm going to glorify you forever. What does Satan want to do? The devil wants to make you feel condemned. He wants you to draw up a list of do's and don'ts. And according to your list of how good you are doing on your own list, that's where you derive your own identity. Because many people today in Christianity, they have lists. And when we don't do well on our list, we don't feel that we are being or worthy to be loved. Come on. Because the truth of the matter is, and this is the truth, is that you are a paradox of feelings. Sometimes you feel like faith and sometimes you feel like fear. Sometimes you feel like love and sometimes you feel unloved. Sometimes you feel like giving grace and sometimes you feel not graceful. Sometimes you feel like feeling mercy and sometimes you don't feel like mercy. And that's exactly why we need God, because He centers us back to the source. And as long as we can be a people of the source, God can fix anything and He can make all things whole. Oh, come on. There's so much to say about this. There's so much I can say. And so let me summarize very quickly for you is that when I look at the cross is, again, it's not a revelation of your sin, it's a revelation of your value. He values you. That's why He died. So Jesus, again, is the heaven's final answer. And I want to encourage every single one of you. You have to find your partner in the presence. Man must work. They have to work. Secondly, they have to have the rule of cultivation applied. cultivate emotionally, physically, spiritually. That's going to take time and it's going to take skill. And you have to have patience. Oh, come on. Are you there? Out of these places, you have to apply things. And I want to end this morning by, I know this is very practical. I'm not going my normal Greek didactic, hermeneutic, apologetical way. What I'm doing today, I'm giving you practical stuff because I'm seeing a society not getting stuff right anymore. And I want us to get it right. For example, hold your wife's hand. Please. Open up the door. Tell her how beautiful she is. Buy her flowers. Run the water for her bath. Buy her gifts. Speak over her the word of God. You're going to have a happy marriage. Come on, do you guys, are you getting of it? So I'm going to give you, let me give you five practical things to do daily in any marriage, in any context. If you do these five things, you're going to have a whole marriage. No, you guys look too serious. Five things, simple. They're simple things, but they're going to help and they're going to work. Point number one, every day pray together. And you see, I don't have notes in front of me because we're doing this stuff. Every day pray together. Those that pray together, stay together. Pray together. Pray. The Bible says, "With two or more agree, it shall be done." Pray together. It's simple. Two, on a daily basis, when you pray together, you're going to find yourself being able to worship. If they go, pray together, worship together. I know this is things that you think is ridiculous. Sing one song. Let me give you a practical way. In the morning, before you wake up and you run into your day, say thank you to God that He gave you another day. For a moment, take the hands, say, "The Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for adding another day to us. Lord, we love you. We're grateful. Father, I pray lead us into this day. Lord, be with us into this day. Protect us, guide us, talk to us. In Jesus' name, amen." It's simple, but if we don't do these things right, you have to understand, the more you don't pray together, there is gaps going to come into place. Oh, come on. Pray together, worship together, basic things. Then, thirdly, quality time. Every day, find a moment in your day where you, I almost want to say a ritual, but you have to have one time in a day where it's you and your spouse and nothing else. One time a day. You have to purposely find a connection space. Otherwise, what will happen? Life will happen in between and you will have no connection space. As soon as you don't have any connection space, what will happen is that some other stuff will fill those vacuums. Oh, come on. The more life fills those vacuums, the less connection happens. Before you know it, you are two people living under the same roof and you don't know one another. Fourth rule that I want to give. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Communication is key for a happy whole marriage. Happy whole relationships. Communicate. Say what you want to say. And this is one of the things, and may I say it from a pulpit, please? You have to understand, when you marry someone or you're going to, yeah, when you marry someone, not when you're going, when you're married to someone, do you know your whole self does not belong to you? You have given it away in covenant. And because you've given it away, you have to serve. Oh, it's very true. And so because we've given away in covenant, we serve. Do you know God serves you because of the covenant He has made of you? So what do you mean? Well, He gave you Jesus, and because of that fact, God has given you and will never remove that from you. He has given you His Spirit, and that Holy Spirit stays with you, walks with you, comforts you, guides you, leads you, helps you in all of the things I've taught before. But all of that purpose is because of covenant. Are you there? Communicate. Last one I can give, and it's, I know this is, these are basic things, but I tell you, without these simple things in place, if we don't pray together, I saw, and we're doing it still, I saw us, and it's a rule, you have to be able to pray. Pray together on a daily basis. And this is how you pray. Pray in your native language first, then pray in tongues. Even if it's 5 minutes, just pray together. Two, find a common time to worship together. And maybe that's going to be a new one for you, I don't know. But try to worship one together. Three, find a communal time where you can be together and make it a ritual. So this is a connecting time. No phones, no nothing, just you, me, connect. If you're in a family context, connect. You have to connect on a daily basis. Healthy families connect. Come on, are you there? I can tell you a lot of things about kids. Four, communicate. Communication is key, guys. God is of the best communicators. Everything God wanted you to know, He told you. He told you. There's nothing He left for chance. This time that we're living in now, called the end of the end, God has spoken 30% of His prophetic words is for this time. Why? Because He did not want you to go into a season like this, not knowing what's happening. So all of the prophecies in the Bible, 30% of them are aimed at this time. Because He wanted you to be informed. Can I give you a last one? On a daily basis, find something to praise. And you're going to find as you do these things, your marriage is going to turn around like that. Because you know what? The Word works. The Word works, and it works every time. When I was thinking about this sermon, and I'm getting it recorded, so I'll say it, is that when I was, I've been married for 15 years now, and when I, long before I met Shannon, I was sitting in a shop in a place in Bloemfontein in a restaurant there. I was engaged with, or going to get engaged with a young lady. Wasn't engaged, just wanted to, and was with her for long, about 3 years, and it was a mess, just a big massive mess. And I remember sitting with the Lord, and as I sat there as a young man, I asked God. God said to me, "What do you want?" And I, on top of my list was this: please give me a God-fearing woman. That was the first thing He wanted. That's what I asked. I said, please give me a God-fearing woman. Number one. Before I asked Him for anything else, I said, first thing, please give me a God-fearing woman. I was sitting there at the back in 2003. I was yet nothing then, just sitting there. And as I sat there, here in front, here, there, in that corner, danced a lady, a young girl in a white dress. And as I sat at the restaurant in 2003, as I sat there, God said to me, when you meet your wife, this is what I'll tell you about her. And so, He gave me like a little 5-sentence thing, and it's for me. I'm not going to say what it is, but He gave me that 5 sentences. And so, as Shannon was dancing in front, I was sitting there at the back, and the Lord said this to me. He said, that's, and He gave me the paragraph. He said, that's your wife. I was like, are you missing a memo here? Because and I'm honest now, she can listen to this, she knows I said this before, that was not my type. You know what I mean? Because she was arty, that was weird for me. The Lord said that. And so I went to her and I said this. I said, the Lord says, because I was so in love with Jesus, I said, the Lord says, you're my wife. And she looked at me weird. She said, what? And she ran away for about 2 weeks. She said, you're crazy. I said, listen, God says you need to be obedient to God. But then the Lord said this to me. He said, He gave me 5 things to do. He said, listen, He said, you asked me, so I gave. Because up to then, my choices was really bad. Okay, repenting time. I don't know if you can put your hands up. But up to then, my own choices sucked. So when God chose, I thought, He knows the future, so let Him choose. And then He said these words. I'll never forget it. He said this. Serve her. Love her. Give her the best. Don't break her down. Stay faithful. And she'll be exactly what you want. Come on. So the point is simply God knows best and He can choose. And I know many people say, no, He doesn't. But sometimes He does. And the whole reason why I told you what I told you this morning is that I believe that God is a restorer and a redeemer, and He wants to bring things like they were. And I think right now we have many, many issues and many things that we are facing, and only God can answer them by His word. Come on, guys, are you with me? He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be whole. He wants your marriage to be fine. And He wants you to have a bright future. And so tonight I'll go back into other things. But I don't want to, you know, sometimes we give people, you need to be able to give people the meat. Sometimes you need to be able to give people practical stuff in life. And this morning is one of those days where if you apply these things, you live. Are you there? And so what I want to do is I want to pray for us this morning. And I preached long enough. I want to pray for us this morning. And wherever you are in this, I don't know where you are. If you, maybe you've gone through a divorce and you don't know how to get a hold. Maybe you're single and right now and you're asking for a partner in the future. Maybe your marriage is not where it's supposed to be. In all of these things, God is the answer. Jesus remains the answer. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to heal, redeem, and restore things. Come on, because He can. To the ladies, I remember, I want to give you a story. I want to give you a hope. If you have a husband that doesn't serve the Lord, I promise you that God can visit him. It's true. It's happened. I remember, I can tell you just a testimony out of that. I remember there was a time that we had a lady that her husband was an alcoholic, so he drank way too much. And so this lady did everything to try to get him to stop that, and he didn't. And then we started to pray about it. And so one night, while he was getting drunk, and this was our prayer was that, Lord, every time he touched alcohol or drink, make him nauseous. And so one day, this is a true story. I won't tell you the names, but it's true. One day he came home and he asked her the question. He said, what did you do? She said, what do you mean? He says, I can't drink nothing. I'm nauseous the whole time. And she said, no, we just prayed. And by the way, this is now many years ago, but that guy changed, accepted the Lord. And he became the leader of his family, where once it was his wife being there. The point is, God can intervene and intercept. Are you there? So I want you to stand. If that's you this morning, you say, Lord, pray for my family. Lord, this is me. This is my family. Or I'm single and I need this morning. Then let's pray for that this morning. Tonight I'm going to speak to you about the most powerful antidote that you and I have. I tell you, tonight's going to be good. And tonight we will step into the prophetic and all of that. But I want us to pray for this, because I believe that there's so much that God wants to do here. So won't you lift your hands to the Lord and let's pray together. And then I'm going to ask Pastor Eric to come. Father, right now across this auditorium and across this room, Lord, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that, Father, that your healing power, your healing virtue will come into our lives, Lord. Father, we pray for every marriage broken, Lord, unrestored, things that are not in place. And Lord, I pray this morning that you will restore them, that you will redeem them, that you will reclaim them. Father, we pray this morning, God, that you are the greatest redeemer, the greatest healer. Father, I pray that people will understand, Lord, that you have a godly design, Lord, and we need to follow that design. And so, Father, this morning, we just submit to your lordship. We submit to your love. We submit to your grace. And, Father, I pray in this day, Lord, we want to call. Won't you agree just with me online and everybody inside here? Father, we just agree by faith this morning, Lord. We want to call in husbands. We want to call in wives, Lord. We want to call in peace and wholeness to return back to us. And Father, I pray in this day, Lord, that God, that your word will be a light unto our feet and a guide unto our path. And Father, thank you that you've empowered us, Lord. You've called us into a time of wholeness in Jesus' name. And Lord, even though the world may do what the world wants to do, Father, you want us as a people of God to be whole, healed, set free, and delivered. And so, Father, we love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that a spirit of reconciliation will come into families, husbands, wives, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for romance to be restored, like the word of the Lord says. And Father, lastly, I pray, Lord, I come against every plan of the evil one to destroy marriages. And Father, we bind and we rebuke every plan of the enemy in this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all of God's Christians say, amen and amen. Come on, guys, let's give Jesus a praise offering, won't you? Pastor Eric, thank you so much. Before Pastor Eric just comes, I want you to know, guys, everybody online with us, all the guys online, everybody inside, I want you just to know this morning that one of the things that I want you to hold in your heart is that you are prayed for. Let me say that again. To every Empower member, everybody that listens to me online and everybody inside you, you are prayed for. You are prayed for. We pray for you. And so I want you just to know that you have a covering because we love you so much. But we pray for you, and you must, if you feel that nobody else is praying for you, always know we pray for you every day. Every day of our lives, we pray for you. And so know that there's a covering in the Spirit over your life. Amen. So you are loved enough to be prayed for. And if we pray for you and Jesus is praying for you, that makes us two. With two or more agree, it shall be done. Amen. Guys, I'll see you tonight.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.